This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 329 of the Countdown Podcast. Come fly with the coffee and cream of the podcasting. I just made it up on the spot and it went so wrong.
Welcome.
My name is Wayne.
The podcast. Countdown movies and sometimes television or divorcement, so you don't have to. And after that opener,
I think you're fine.
What you're in for. My name is Paul. If I haven't said that already, because Wayne's completely thrown me. Today, we're doing the top 10 films about a plane.
Is it plane films?
Plane films, except airplane films or aeroplane films, if you want to be really technical.
Airplane films. Sure, something like that.
Now, regulars of the show from 4 or 5 episodes back,
I'm going to get fucking heat on this.
We'll know that Wayne, when doing top 10 films set on a boat.
No, it was fucking boat films, cunt.
Managed to have choices in his list where a boat flew by in the background of one shot.
Where there was a prominent boat in the scene in the film. Yes.
Wayne did top 10 boat scenes. The rest of us, i.e. everyone who listened to the episode the week before, did top 10 boat films. So there's a lot of conjecture, Wayne, about how your list will go today.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm actually like still kind of frutting over it. I'm like sitting there going, oh, I got this like number 10. And it's like, well, is that the thing though? Is that the one I want? Is there enough fucking planes in the fucking film? All right. So I've got to chop out some shit that I probably would normally put in there. So we'll see how this shit goes, motherfucker.
Right. We'll find out just how wrong this goes. On the other side, we've got the kickoff of every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is our mailroom. Paul, what's up, y'all? What's up?
Well, let's start off first with the guest spots I did last week. Firstly, thank you to everyone who voted for me in the Saturday Married to Movie Geeks Fantasy Movie Draft, where for the year 2013, where I fell over the line by 1%.
See? Through the winning, just boom. Second, is it?
Managed to come second. Yes, to progress to 2014, the format being the two winners go forward each year until 2019 is the grand final. Kind of like a wrestling style.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one of those things,
new
yes.
New competitors come in. Raw Rumbles, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was at the expense of Gerald, who, a champion that he was, actually threw some votes my way because he felt really bad. Because I was bullied by the winner of the event,
oh, really?
Ryan from In Session Film, and who was being very mean to me.
Okay.
No, it was fun. I've managed to follow the line. I don't think it will happen again, but it's nice to go one more time around. So thank you to everyone who voted, and do check out the next one. That'll be in a month or 5 weeks' time, give or take, somewhere nice. Around there.
Well done, old man.
Probably even more significant than that, though, was the My Guest List pod.
Yeah.
This is hosted by Darren Strain, a fellow who goes and interviews podcasters about their show and what makes them tick and why they do the show. He interviewed me three, four months ago, and it just came out this last week. So you can check out My Guest List pod. And it was a lot of fun. Darren's a really, really nice guy and does a great show.
I'm listening to that after this. So I'm actually quite interested to hear the interview with Paul on the genesis of the show. And then he drops a list.
He does. We did a list of top 10 80s sci-fi films. And then also he even cut together a Wayne Mega Mix.
Oh, shit. Well, now I have to listen.
So hats off to Darren. He did a wonderful job. So do check that one out and give him a download and maybe subscribe to the show too. Because the other episodes are great.
Excellent. Yeah. Nice work.
And then, of course, there is no results from last week.
Because it was a
top 10 last 10. It was a really good week for the show, though, because we actually popped up for the first time in the top 10 film reviews in Australia.
Oh, my.
On the list. So on the front page of TV and Film on iTunes, you can see us there.
In case you wonder, everyone, we don't ever know why we pop. Like, we just, it's a boom, we hit like, oh, what the fuck, what did we do this week? I don't know, nothing that different. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit,
yeah, we did top 10 last year, not like we haven't done one of those before.
This is a podcast market, it's weird, but
so
it's interesting.
It worked, and it's been a good week for us in terms of, you know, some quieter weeks of late.
Yeah.
This one was a big turnaround, so thank you to everyone. If you're new to the show, listening. Welcome,
yes.
I guess is what we're trying
what
to
up?
Say.
How you doing?
Yeah, and hopefully you come back for a little more after last week's
maybe
show.
Not after my opening, but whatever, keep going, keep coming, come back.
If you're still here, hopefully you'll see it through. And speaking of, then let's do it. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into the top 10 airplane films.
This is your captain speaking. You are now on board for the top 10 airplane films. Strap yourselves in because Wayne has some shit on his list.
I've never wanted you more.
All right, well, it's pretty straightforward. Has to be about a plane or on a plane or happy. Prominently plane focused.
Okay, so more than one scene, definitely. Obviously is what we're saying. It's cool.
If you ever film with two scenes in a plane,
this is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of. And I don't think I'm accelerating.
Twice.
All right, so here it is, right? Yes, I think the list in terms of the qualification therein will be tight. All right, because I had to put some shit out here. You know what up?
That right,
I
think you're fine. You'll be fine.
All right.
All right. Take us away, Wayne. Take us. Right. Give us your number
10. Okay, fine. My number 10. It might make you shit, Paul. It might make you shit, and some other people out there too. It's a film called Air America.
Oh, that's.
Did you like that film?
Yeah.
Do you know what rating it has on Rotten Tomatoes? 13%.
Wow. That low. I remember. So obviously Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr., right?
Yep, Mel Gibson, Rob Downey Jr. back when he had his first iteration of his career, before all the fried chicken and the drugs. And then, like, it's about...
Maybe the drugs and the fried chicken.
Well, it's about a clandestine airline operating out of Laos. Laos? And it's run by the CIA, and it's basically about back in the day where there was like illicit like goods in and out of Southeast Asia, and these guys, Mel Gibson is the pilot of one of these transports, and Bob Downey Jr. is his like co-pilot, but then they split off, and it's an action comedy. I've always loved this film.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people will go, eh. And apparently 13% of people, whatever. Whoa. Yeah.
That's critics, of course.
Critics, exactly. I understand why they hated it.
Not 1.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
Well, I think what was cool, because it was 1990, this film, all right? So it was like, I was in year 10, right? And very easily impressed.
There's at least one or two listeners who picked this in their top 3.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought of it last minute. I'm like, fuck it, I'm throwing it in there. Because otherwise it was going to be, well, I'm not going to say that. But yes, Air America, I think it's more that like this is the heyday of Mel Gibson,
yeah,
right? And he is
right,
the
in the
shit.
Midst of the Lethal Weapons.
That's right. Yeah. And I was so interesting when I saw the trailer of them having, I remember the trailer, Mel Gibson was eating a sandwich while Robert Downey Jr. was trying to crash land a plane without behind him and shit. And I was like, I love this so much that these two have come together and I love the end. Anyway, look, I think it's a total nostalgia pick, but that's me, man. That's how we do. Air America.
All right, well, my number 10 is a slightly more serious film directed by Robert Zemeckis called Flight.
Oh!
With Denzel.
Denzel.
Yeah, and basically, he's a commercial airline pilot who has a problem with drugs and alcohol, but as it happens, he manages to save a plane and basically everyone on board with some wicked-ass flying, literally flies the plane upside down from memory.
Okay, I've not seen it, and I've seen the trailer where the plane flies upside down. Does he actually do that? Is that what it's purported to have happened?
So I don't think this is a real story. It's not Sully, which is another film which could have been, and I probably shouldn't mention in case it's on your list.
Nope.
Which was a real story about the miracle on the Hudson, where he landed the plane on the Hudson. And that could have got there, but I got dark on that film when they just orchestrated and made up bullshit sort of charges that were leveled against Sully. Never happened.
Yeah,
you just got to investigate. Just in terms of a normal investigation, what'd you do? Yep. Okay, cool.
If you're a writer, you're like, how do we make this interesting? Uh-huh. I don't know. Get him sued. Okay.
Whereas Flight, it's a made up story, but it's fascinating. Denzel is Denzel in his prime in 2012, just absolutely owning the shit out of this. You totally buy into it. And yeah, he shouldn't have been on drugs when he did this, but he saved everyone. So
is that the show?
Yeah, basically.
That's cool.
And then they try him because they realize that he probably was on drugs.
Wow. And
yeah, so it's fascinating.
Is it like a drama? Like,
yeah, it's a drama. Yeah, okay, it's a straight drama. It's very, very serious and very, very straight-laced. And, it snuck in here at number 10. I could have put
a
nostalgia pick here, which, I won't mention in case it makes your list. But
dude, the first half of my list is nostalgia.
But the honest choice of the matter here is this film I remember much better than the 80s film, which I was considering. So
okay, fair enough. Good to hear. Okay, my number 9 is Die Hard 2.
What?
No, wait, did you not like this movie? Did the world not like this movie?
No, I think the film is fine. It's at an airport. I guess there's a plane towards the end.
Bitch, he's on a plane the whole time. It's at
no,
an
he's
airport.
Not. He's at an airport the whole time.
The whole end of the scene, he's on the wing of the plane, then he's in the plane.
Not the whole time.
Then it's set in like because they're crashing planes into the fucking tarmac.
Yes.
So
yeah, I guess
this is an airplane film, man. Come on now. And also, it takes place 1 year after the Die Hard films. And I remember the writers were talking about how
can the same thing happened to the same guy twice.
Okay. So they were trying to make that happen. And essentially, that's what it is. There's another terrorist plot. And this time it's at the Washington airport. And then Bruce Willis is waiting for his wife, Bonnie with the shit hair. And then, like, the same night,
That's her actual name.
That's her actual name. The South American political drug profiteer dudes like are actually trying to take over the fucking the whole airport, and they're like threatening to smash the planes and do all sorts of shit. And there's also cuts to them in a plane.
Sipowicz is in it.
Sipowicz is in this, right? Sipowicz from NYPD Blue is the assholeish like authoritarian sheriff or whatever security guy. And John McClane is just there, right? He just happens to be there, so he's trying to get his way in and shit. I remember in this movie there was a scene where John McClane. Because he's John McClane, figures out he gets one of their guns or something, and he sees that there's red or yellow tape on it.
Yeah, red and black, red and blue,
red and blue, something like that. But depending on the tape, like one of the guns or the clips shoots blanks,
mm-hmm.
which means all of the fucking like CIA crackers and shit were all involved, or this is like a cover up job because they were faking that they were shooting back at motherfuckers, right? And that was a real interesting plot point to me. Then at the end of the film, spoilers, okay. John McClane gets into a Hercules or some big-ass C-130-ass, like, fucking thing, and it's about to blow up because everyone threw, like, grenades in there and shit, and he's like, the only way to get away from here is to get in the ejector seat, boom, and it explodes, and there's a shot of him coming out. Now, I actually, when I saw that, the first thing I thought, unfortunately, as a child, was, because I was a nerd about, like, that shit when I was a kid, and I'm like, C-130s don't have an ejector seat. So, which is true. But other than that, I loved this film, man. And I didn't have any problem with it being, even though it's Rennie Harlan, right? Who I now have a dim view of after that shitty Mitzvah thing I saw last week. But it was cool. I actually liked it very much. I liked it much more than Die Hard 3.
Wow, I don't agree with that at all.
You like Die Hard 3 more, with the running around and the shit.
Hot summer in the city. Yep.
Well, now that we've got that clear. Okay, word. I'm sure that'll lose me this. So cool.
I don't know. Again, there was a few people who picked that one, and I did consider it for the list as well. I went, you know what? It's not plainy enough for me. It's airporty enough. Adopting airport films, absolutely right up there.
Well, I'm glad we had a little out here.
No, well, that's fine. No, I think it qualifies, and I'm okay with that. My number 9 is a film which takes place virtually entirely on a plane, other than a very early scene and the end of the film at an airport. It's household name Robert Schwentzky's Flight Plan from 2005.
Is this Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster, that's right.
And
we're basically No. You're thinking of a different film, which I won't mention in case it's on one of our lists.
It's certainly not on mine.
Okay. It's not on mine. Red Eye, you're thinking.
Red Eye, yeah.
With Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams. Yeah. There's a lot of these.
There's a lot of these thrillers on a plane where we're trapped somewhere and something has happened which can't have happened. In this case, she's lost her daughter. Her daughter has disappeared. Right.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've heard of this film, not seen it.
You've not seen it. Okay. Well, I won't spoil the way it all plays out, but basically then the US Marshal and the pilot all sort of become involved. The pilot's Sean Bean. The Marshal is, what's his name?
Does Sean Bean die? I assume so. Oh, you can't spoil
it. What's his name? Peter Sarsgaard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is the US Marshal on it. And so they're the sort of three main kind of characters throughout.
She's looking for her daughter.
Well, her daughter gets on the plane with her. She falls asleep, wakes up, daughter's gone.
The fuck?
And she's running around the plane going, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? And they're like, you never got on board with your daughter.
Oh, wow.
So that's the premise of the film.
This sounds cool.
And it all takes place, as I said, virtually in the plane, the whole film.
And this makes you, was it number?
Nine.
Nine. So it's on your list. It's a good-ass movie.
I've only watched it once and I enjoyed it at the time. I could have picked, there's three other films I thought were so similar and I ummed and ahed about which one. So the others have ended up on my honorable mentions. Again, don't want to mention them in case they come up on your list.
Really, Otto.
Four.
See, because that one's like, yeah.
So Red Eye is on my honorable mentions list. I picked my favorite of these three, the one which stuck out in my memory the most, and the one which had the best, I think, ending and explanation.
Totally. Well, my number 8 is actually 100% on a plane.
Okay.
And it's called 7500 is the name of the movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about this one.
I watched it
after your recommendation. It's all right.
Yeah, see, okay, so when I saw it, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing this soft-spoken young American co-pilot on a flight from Berlin to Paris, and the whole movie is kind of in the cockpit, just looking out, looking and turning around and stuff like that. After takeoff, terrorists, like, they're armed with like makeshift knives, they storm the cockpit, they wound one of them, fuck off one of their arms, and it's actually the most harrowing film, I thought, because I wasn't expecting it to be so. There's pounding on the door, and it's like boom, 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 and it's all one-shot kind of shit, and it's really, really, like, I actually find it difficult. And no score, so it's like just like static shots. And they show the entire takeoff sequence as you're like fucking sitting behind the two pilots, and it's really, really cool, but it's actually quite hard to watch. That's what puts it down on the list. The problem with the movie is that the scenes towards the end drag out a bit. That is the problem with it.
Yeah, we watched it after you recommended it on whatever top 10 last year you spoke about it. It's okay.
It's okay.
It didn't hit me the way that you're describing.
Well, I think it shocked me because it's shot very European-y, if I can make... It doesn't look like an American film.
How do Europeans shoot things, Wayne?
Okay. First of all, none of these fucking overlit scenes, Paulie. Quite poorly lit. Now, it is a cockpit at night, so fair enough, all right? Also, not that crispy, clean, motherfucking 4K fucking red eye whatever camera that they use, which has this perfect image. It's a little fucking dank. It's a little blurry.
Right.
Right? That's why Europeans do.
Okay.
And a lot of talkie-talkie.
No American films are ever too talky. All right, good, good to know. Right, my number eight is a film which I also watched, was 7500 last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
This one is this year, it came out, and I know it has some issues, at least in terms of its writing pedigree. I'm talking Shadow in the Cloud, as directed by Roseanne Liang.
I have some familiarity of that
it
name.
It stars Chloe Grace Moretz, mm-hmm. and it's basically a World War II film where she gets on a bomber, hitches a ride on a bomber to wherever the hell they're going, a B-17 Flying Fortress. And while she's up there, they encounter some kind of supernatural force.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Shadow in the Cloud.
And you
see
it.
There's no room for her. So she's in the belly, the turret belly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
And she's stuck down there and she can see this thing. Kind of like, it's basically, look, without the whole premise of the film, it's like a gremlin.
Is it a horror film?
Yeah, kind of.
Is it like that Twilight Zone episode?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very similar to Twilight. And if we're allowed one fifth of it, that Twilight Zone would be my fucking number one.
You know, I was thinking about that. Because didn't they remake that?
May have done it in a later series. Yeah, but with John Lithgow, it's based on a Richard Matheson short story, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Okay.
And which is, it's fantastic. Like that is absolutely harrowing. And one of the moments I fell in love with horror was that fucking segment.
Even I will say that we're talking about the
we've moved on.
Twilight thing. Yeah.
The Twilight Zone, the movie.
Twilight Zone. The movie. One of the stories in it was the John Lithgow and the thing on the wing, right?
Yep.
Even when I saw that, I was scared shitless, right? And I was like, that's when I decided I didn't like horror. But it worked so well. Because when that thing waggled a finger at him at the end,
when the thing
fucking chilling, man.
I think
man.
That one's directed by Joe Dante, but I could be wrong.
I seem to have heard that somewhere as well. Yeah, cool. So,
anyway, but back to this film. It's very similar to that in that she's stuck in that turret belly and she can see this thing trying to sabotage all the engines. She's trying to convince the soldiers. But it's played much funner than that short story was in Twilight Zone, the movie. Eventually it becomes her becoming this kick-ass kind of soldier. And yeah, it's enjoyable. I expected nothing of it. I'm not telling you to expect a lot of it. But if you're up for it, and there's a couple, unfortunately, where it falls down is there's a couple of absolutely fucking ridiculous moments that completely take you out of the film. Like, that in any world universe could not have happened. And otherwise, other than the fact this is a supernatural creature, you're kind of grounding it semi-seriously.
Yeah.
You've just blown it there. So this is written by noted prick face. Max Landis, right?
Oh, Max Landis, okay.
Who is, apart from all manner of inappropriate sexual behavior, is also a complete cunt who, anytime one of his films doesn't do well, blames everyone else other than himself.
Ah, the Hollywood C-note. All right, fair enough. That's cool.
So unfortunately, I think people misjudge this film because they see his name attached to it and just sort of want to, fucking cancel it, unfortunately. And it's a female director. It got very close to my top 10 female directed films list too. So
holy shit.
Yeah, good film.
Once again, I smoked away the name.
Shadow in the Cloud.
Got it. Okay, number seven for me is just freaking Airplane, or as it was released here, Flying High.
No.
Yeah?
Surely you can't be serious.
Well, it's number seven. It's on my list.
Don't call me Shirley.
Well, okay, let's just talk about this though, okay? I went to an outdoor theater like 5 years ago, right? And they were playing Airplane, but they called it Airplane, and even though it was in Australia, because that's the print that they were using from real film.
Sure.
Right? And I sat down there and was like, it's full of like old ass folks like me, right? And then like us, exactly. But there was a wonderful camaraderie because everyone grew up looking at this shit. And I remember, by the way, this is about it's actually a takeoff of that of another movie called Zero Hour. And it's actually a direct parody of that movie.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and it's about basically some trouble in the air and there's only one guy on the plane and he's the hero of the movie, but there's, ground crew trying to fucking land it and all that sort of shit. But the thing that was weird about this show, or not weird, awesome about this show, is that for me, understanding comedy as a young man, I was watching it going, what are they doing here? And there's moments where Leslie Nielsen's nose grows as he lies. And then there's like, there's a blowjob joke with the autopilot and it's like a blow up doll, and she goes to blow the thing in it, and then they make the doll smile, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because none of that shit can happen, and so now this is absurdist, but it's absolutely absurdist. But like, I had never come across it before.
I never watched the movie till then.
No, when I was a kid, I saw it first when I was like What year is this?
81.
81. 80, yeah, I think I saw it like 2 years after that. So I was fucking, you know, 7 or some shit, right?
And a lot of the jokes are double entendres and stuff. Oh, it's 80. It would just go straight over your head.
Totally. Although I got the Shirley joke.
Yes.
And it always killed, right? And that's why, I thought Leslie Nielsen is the man. And even like when they're making, you know what really made me laugh about this? The African-American gentleman on the plane who was speaking Jive Talk and then they had subtitles. And I'm like, that's the first time I came across that shit, man. You can't do that now, of course. So...
No.
I don't know, man. I reckon you could if it was a black director, say.
Well, maybe if it's a black director, I'm not sure.
No, I don't know. But 87 minutes, this movie. 87 minutes.
It is. And it's not just laugh a minute. It's several laughs a minute.
Yes.
I reckon from Go to Woe, this is one of the funniest films ever made.
Bro.
So the Zuckers and Jim Abrams.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why they're still playing it in a damn outdoor cinema here in, you know, sort of like Hipsterville. But I'll tell you this, Paul. Julie Hagerty, the female lead. When I saw her at the age of 7 or 8, I'm like, that shit is on. I was like, she was like the prettiest. I thought she must be the prettiest girl ever. And her little voice like this.
Oh, that
dug the shit out of it. Puts me off. I dug the shit out of it, man. And you know what? She's so hot. She's in like fucking How I Met Your Mother. She's Marshall's mother. And she's still tight.
She was
Word!
In something else recently as well. Maybe it was the mother in Marriage Story.
Oh, yes. I think you might be right.
Maybe ScarJo's mum.
ScarJo's mum. Yeah. Makes sense. Still awesome. Yeah. So yeah, that's a personal note there. That's where I may have discovered that I like women. But
7? So low, Wayne.
It's on the list, isn't it, motherfucker?
No.
Well, you know, these jokes, they wear well after so long, but they're not better than new jokes. So you see? That's how that goes. And yeah.
It is without a doubt the funniest airplane movie ever made.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if you're going to put a certain fucking movie on your list and I'll just go, fuck you. A certain funny-ish movie that's set on a plane with snakes?
Nah.
Oh, good. Because that movie fucking sucked.
It was terrible.
That was a piece of shit.
It was
an
absolute piece of shit. I wondered if it might be on yours.
Snakes on a Plane is crap.
I agree. I was so hyped for it. And
everyone
sucked.
Talked about it. Yeah. Like, this is really shit. So anyway, sorry.
Well, fair enough. We're also letting go some of these films. My number 7 is another World War II film also set on a bomber. It's called Memphis Belle.
Memphis Belle. Yep. Do you know what? This also I confused with a fucking Twilight Zone story. The dude stuck in the turret, you know, at the bottom.
Yes.
I was like, which one do I like? I couldn't think. I couldn't remember either. So obviously I didn't remember Memphis Belle as well, except for the Harry Connick Jr.'s in it.
Yeah. His acting debut, Matthew Modine, Eric Stoltz, Tate Donovan, D.B. Sweeney, Billy Zane, Sean Astin. Pretty good cast.
That is right? A pretty good cast, yeah. Man.
And based on a true story of the Memphis Belle, which is it flew the most number of missions and survived than any other plane from vague memory.
Yeah.
And this is the tale of their record-breaking mission and how they almost all died, whatever. And from a vague memory, and I could have this wrong, no one dies. They all survive, which at the time...
Oh, my God, and Paul liked it and
put
it on the
list. In 1990, I remember thinking,
Of course you thought that, you fucking freak of a child.
But it's really well put together, this movie, and you really do want them to survive, and it's that against-the-odds survival story. It's brilliantly filmed. The camaraderie is excellent.
And Harry Connick Jr. sings in it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, you can always fast-forward that part of the
I love me some HCGA. HCGA. HCJ.
There we are. Okay. That's straightforward. Not on your list?
No.
No Memphis Belle.
Considered it, but again, I couldn't remember how I liked it or like the Twilight Zone episodes.
Okay.
Anyway, I think sounds good. Number 6 is The Aviator for me.
Yeah, it didn't make my list.
I didn't bored. Expect it to. Okay, here's the thing.
Look, I'm sorry.
It's not my Scorsese. Look, I've had problems with Scorsese and people have problems with me for it. I think Wolf of Wall Street's too long.
It's a little long, but it's very good.
People get pissed about that. Anyway, Aviator is about Howard Hughes, played by Leo DiCaprio, and he's a famously wealthy filmmaker. He's got OCD, and it's a biopic of his life. It is 3 hours long, and I will tell you, brother had a little trouble with that.
Yep.
Okay?
Me too.
And however, what got me there and what surprised me is that in it's talking all about his shit and it sees that he's like, he loves aviation and he invents planes and he takes risks and he makes a maiden flight of shit that shouldn't even work and stuff like that. So it's a cool millionaire, even though he's obviously fucked up, right? But last act of the movie, which is the last hour of the movie, is makes about sense. Them trying to sue him, all right? And he's actually holed up in his mansion and no one can get through to him and they're not sure what's going to happen. Hey, you've got to turn up in court in fucking, you know, 10 days or some shit. And then finally, and he seems like he's just unhinged and about to shit himself or something, right? But then he emerges and he's in the fucking courtroom and he represents himself and fucks everyone in the ass. Like, he's like, yo, I didn't give you the contract, government, but you never get them from other people. And he made it really, really good. It's like, oh, so he's crazy, but he's fucking competent.
Oh, he's smart as fuck.
And it looks like he was, and you know, that's why he's a millionaire and this and that. And this thing is really, really cool. And so I actually like The Aviator. Okay. Plus, it looks
clearly,
fucking great.
It's on your number six. Mm. So
but it looks great. Looks great.
Yep. Oh, fair enough. It's obviously a classic, a film from an amazing director featuring an amazing actor. So that alone probably gets you there. I watched the once. What year was it? 2006, 2007?
I believe it was. I don't know. But let's say 2007, Paul.
I reckon it was about 2005 in that year. So I watched it once at that point in time. Okay. It's a little
Look, I'm not watching 3-hour movies over and over except like The Dark Knight or whatever. Well, that wasn't even that
Two and a half.
Two and a half, yeah.
Give or take. All right, my number six is one that has a special place in this show's heart. Both of our heart as well. I had a horrendous experience at the cinemas watching this movie where I had someone talking the entire time, explaining the plot to the person next to them, and I could hear every word.
That's what elbows are for, Paul.
Yeah, I think they were just behind me. So, you know, and I just...
That's going to
You don't
want to
be that person,
you
but you just want to turn around and just go, you know what, shut the fuck up.
Oh, dude.
Anyway, it's executive decision.
Oh, no.
Okay. And obviously, it does star Kurt Russell and Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal!
Now, given what we now know about Seagal, that's what elevated this film to this list, which I think it's a competent thriller. It's stylish. It's all on board this plane. And basically, they literally attach a group of commandos to a hijacked plane.
Yes, everyone.
In a mid-air mission, yep. During which Steven Seagal dies to get Kurt Russell and John Leguizamo and a couple other dudes on board.
No, but dies heroically.
Yeah.
Because they're going through the passage.
We're not
going
to make it.
You will. And they shut the thing and the plane
pressure,
goes and fucks
the
itself.
Pressure basically boom, explodes the thing he's in. Yep.
And that's in what, the first act?
Yeah, the arse end of the first act.
Yeah. So we, I remember, please.
Because
like,
we're trained. We're like, if you believe it's going to be Seagal and Russell who are going to get this, they're going to be the ones.
It was a wicked gambit. Yep. And we actually said, I remember after the movie, we walked away and he said, you know what? Steven Seagal, because we had already started to either disrespect him as for some reason.
96, even by that early stage.
Yes, we were like, oh, I think he's a dickhead or a wanker or something. And they're like, but you know what? You put like, you know, sort of 10 minutes of Steven Seagal collectively in a movie and then you kill him. That's okay. That was the best capacity for him we thought at the time.
And,
right?
And what we understand now is they had to really talk him round.
So he wanted to be way in it?
Yeah.
Of course he did, because he's a fucking asshole.
They offered him the script. They offered him the role. And he said, yeah, no, I need to be the Kurt Russell guy.
What the fuck?
Apparently. So the story goes.
That doesn't surprise me at all, Paul. I just assume that's what happened.
But the whole point here, Stephen, is this whole thing doesn't work unless your character makes that ultimate sacrifice. You are the hero of this film. And they worked on him enough that he eventually went, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, I remember that story actually now. I do remember that story. And that's fucked. You know what was... This is the weird thing though, right? In this film, there's Kurt Russell, who's the suit, but he ends up being the legend, right? And he's walking around and the only military like bad guy representation is Steven Seagal with his ponytail like a bitch, right? And then it's all this like, you know, he's shaking his head and he's like, ugh. He says, and I actually bought him as the asshole, like, and then when he kills himself to save them, it's like, this now character means something and now this movie means something. It's better than
it's also playing for stakes. Like, yeah, it's not just the little bit characters who are going to die here.
That's
anyone,
right. No
anyone could
safe.
Die. Yeah,
exactly. So that's why it was cool. And also I liked, was it Halle Berry? Halle Berry was the chick that
yes,
was the, yeah, yeah.
I believe so. The flight attendant?
Yeah. So she was the bomb, I reckon. And then later on, at the end of the movie, Kurt Russell's like, yeah, I saved everyone, right? And Halle Berry's there, and they're sort of flirting, but not really. And then, like, you know, he gets called away, and he's like, you want to come with me to the White House and get a cup of coffee? And she's like, okay. And then boom, off they go. And it's like, yeah, about time, because Kurt saved everyone. He should get some ass. So there you are.
I agree. And there's no finer way to put the button on this particular discussion then. All right, there we are.
Why didn't I see you going?
All right, over to you for your top half of your list.
Okay, my number five is going to be unpopular. And it's a movie that was also unpopular with critics, but I always loved it and I saw it on Laserdisc. Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Oh!
Yeah, dude, I love this fucking film.
I think David Powell you just got his vote. Dude, let me... Sure, this is on his list, top three.
Check it out, right? It's got Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow in it. And
reason not to watch it.
Yeah, well, Jude Law... I like both of those, right, guys? In fact, View from the Top is a Gwyneth movie that almost made it onto my list. That's right. She's a flight attendant. Anyway, Sky Captain, right, is this like freelance buccaneer dude, and he's for truth and justice. It's a very, very like pulpy kind of film, right? And it's shot where he has to go into some foreign land in this plane, and it's really, but the way that it's produced is actually, it's not supposed to be photorealistic. It looks like a dream. The whole thing looks
300-esque type.
Yes, but not the same, but kind of. I know what you mean. Yeah, there's a filter over the whole thing, and it's a very distinct stylistic choice. And I remember looking at it going, I am just mesmerized. And I heard on the fucking, like, I did the director's commentary because it was a Laserdisc. This was a first-time director who never fucking did anything like this before. And somehow he got the
deal.
Never
worked again.
No, I don't think he did, because it didn't go well, right? But he said, he was actually, there's a recount of him saying, on that first day that they were shooting, I walked out on set and everyone was quiet because everyone knew I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And Gwyneth Paltrow was standing there like, this is the first scene, and she's in uniform. And he walks in and he goes, okay, let's go. And he just gets into it. He said, as the day went on, they started to trust me more and more and more. And he made this film. And I just love it. It's fun and stupid and pointless. Not stupid. It's just pointless, all right? But it exists just to inspire silly grins. And it's romantically lovely to look at. So I voted with this film.
Director's name is Kerry Conran. Never directed another feature film.
Yeah. This, I do believe he actually made a point of that, because previously he had done some other sort of, he's almost like an effects guy. There's no real reason why he would have, I don't even know how he got the film. Obviously it must have been his idea. But yeah, loved it. Always loved it.
Okay. I've watched this once, completely and utterly forgot about it, other than its somewhat unique look.
Yeah.
Didn't do it for me, but
what
good.
A shame.
Glad
what
you enjoyed it. You're going to be angry with me for my number five, Wayne.
Go on.
Get ready to scream low.
I already know what you fucking did. I just know what you did.
Yeah, it's called Top Gun.
Fucker!
You might have heard of it, everyone.
Ah, jeez.
The film between this and Risky Business that shot Tom Cruise to fame, one of the least convincing romances of all time.
What?
He and Kelly McGillis. Oh, also just the lack of complete chemistry at all.
Nah, I thought it was all right. He was trying to throw lay some pipe, you know, as the instructor. I got it.
Directed by Tony Scott. This thing is so, it's so in the zeitgeist, so in popular culture. You know, I feel the need. The need
for speed. This movie is a chunk of the 80s. It's about 23% of the 80s. You put this there, it's there. Okay? This was the shit, everyone. Please, go on.
Oh, look, I like the film just fine. Obviously, you know, Val Kilmer being a complete asshole. Slash.
Man.
Harder. You know, almost as good as Maverick. And what's his name? The guy who's on ER. Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, Goose. You know,
Goose and his tragic demise.
Tragic demise. It was a huge element for the film. And it made brooding very popular, I remember. It was just like him in the bar, and I'm eating, drinking ice water, and you know.
Tom Skerritt, Michael Ironside, John Stockwell. It's a pretty Rick Rossovich. It's a pretty Meg Ryan, even in a little role,
mate,
too.
Tim fucking, what's his name?
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, yeah. He's fucking Jester or something. So that was
Adrian,
the shit.
Adrian Pastor?
Really?
Yeah.
He could have just flown himself. Yes, people. Absolutely. I'm completely on board with this, man.
I liked it, but I don't love it the way that you do. And I knew this would be very high on the list. I'm sorry, but if I left it off the list, I'd get spanked.
Of course
so.
You would. No, Top Gun is the shit. And in fact, you can probably guess where it is on my list. All right. But
say what you want to say about it. Go on.
Okay.
Go crazy.
All right. Not only did it teach me that you're supposed to put your tongue in a woman's mouth when you kiss her. That was a big surprise.
It's not top 10 French kissing films, Wayne.
No, but oh, that would be so gross. But like I was like looking at the dong, 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 the fucking like, you know, yeah, they fucking, what's it, Berlin's form.
Yep.
And yeah, he's sticking his tongue right in there, mate. And I'm like, this is completely like worth it for your rendition of Take My Ass Away.
Obviously joking. I'm more interested in
Danger Zone was the shit. There's no question about that. That's probably
you recognize that song, did you?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. But also, I mean, you know the volleyball scene, right?
Oh God!
I didn't think it was gay at all.
I stand resolute,
like,
motherfucker.
Yo, that's fine, motherfucker. It's fine.
You can ride my tail.
That never happened in the movie. I know. Was Quentin Tarantino saying it. Right?
Well, there is Sleep With Me. I think it came from.
Yeah, Sleep With Me. That movie. Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, no, like I said, it actually defined an actual, not only an aesthetic, but an attitude in the '80s. All that shit became cool. Air Force became cool. It did
Aviators
amazing things
cool.
for the Navy recruitment. It just went through the roof that year. So, like, shit like this is cool, man. So there you are. Top Gun.
Very nice. All right. There we are. That's, well, very nice. I picked it 5. Wayne has it much, much higher. I guess we'll find out just how high in due course.
Damn right. My number 4.
Sure, please. Go ahead.
Is Executive Decision. So we're right back to you,
Billy. Oh, okay then. Well, my number 4.
Foe.
Is one of the most harrowing, all jokes aside now, one of the most harrowing pieces of cinema I've ever seen. It came out 5 years after the September 11 attacks. It's called United 93.
All right, tell me about this, because a lot of people have this on the list. I've not seen it. What's it? Is it just...
directed by Paul Greengrass. And it basically, with as much information as they could glean from the phone calls and the text messages and whatever else that were sent by people on the plane...
It's what happened on the plane?
Let's go. It's a depiction of everyone getting on the plane flight, the hijackers taking it over, and then them deciding we're not just going to... Because they hear about the plane being flown into the Twin Towers, and they decide we're not going to let whatever this guy is having in motion happen.
So this was the let's roll. Yeah, I remember
just,
that.
Absolute courage. Unbelievable to think that these people just went, well, whatever happens, happens. We're not going out like that.
That's the shit, man. That's so cool. Wow. And
it's like I've only ever watched it once. It's just too harrowing to go back to again, if I'm really honest.
Yeah. Wow.
Even though, again, it's a dramatic depiction of what they think actually happened. I think it's the fact that this is what actually happened that kind of gets to me, that something akin to what we're watching on screen actually took place.
Absolutely. And out of interest, I don't know how it works at airplanes, but is there a black box or something that would have told them what happened? There must have been, right?
Well, I don't think the black box records everything that happens in the cabin and whatever else. So
they got cameras and shit.
It records... but the camera's all destroyed. Whereas the black box is designed to...
But doesn't the black box hold everything?
No, it holds data about the plane flight and responses and all that. I mean, don't quote me on this. I'm not an airline engineer. Yeah. But my understanding is that it keeps every change and whatever else, maybe every comm between just the pilot. Mm. And I'm not even sure if that gets recorded and saved in the black box.
One would think, right?
But it gets recorded at the other end, at the tower end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Okay. Yeah, look, I don't think I've had the balls to watch this, to be honest with you. I actually kind of knew what it was, but yeah, there we are.
Yeah. No, no jokes. Can't be funny about that one. It's an outstanding film about heroism beyond what most of us will ever have to put ourselves on the line for. Yeah.
Now, there's plenty to laugh about in my next pick.
Good. Let's now lighten it up.
Con Air, bitch!
Yeah.
Con Air. Of course.
Slightly low.
What is that? Is that a scratch? Is that what you were doing?
the music in the film.
Oh, how is it that Michael Winslow has his own career and you're sitting here? Okay.
Right, I'm going to find what I was trying to do and just fucking show you.
Thank you very much. I can't wait. Now, everyone, Con Air is about Nicolas Cage, who is a ranger, but he got thrown in jail because he was protecting his baby girl and his wife from some assholes who said, And then, anyway, he's in jail, in the wrong place. Stays there for a while, finally gets reprieve. He gets flown away to... What the fuck are you doing? Is that... Oh, that was it? That's...
Sorry.
You're right. It was absolutely perfect. Spot on. I don't know how I didn't pick it. There you are.
Ridiculous.
Son. Fantastic. Yes, but anyway, so he gets on this plane full of cons because they're transporting them somewhere else and he's going to go home to his baby. But of course, the cons take over the fucking plane and one of them's Dave Chappelle and another one is John Malkovich and it's a bunch of other motherfuckers, including Danny Trejo.
Yep.
Or as we call him, Edward James Almost. So... And it's, of course, about Nicolas Cage flexing his muscles and having long hair and why didn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Box, yep. And of course, John Cusack on the ground trying to help him out.
John Cusack wearing sandals.
Wearing sandals and socks.
And socks with his cream-colored suit.
Yep.
It was the 90s. So I think probably... Now, look, I've actually seen one of those specials where the airline special, like technical guy is talking about Con Air and he's like, there is no way a plane could take that much punishment. I don't give a fuck. All right, it's so funny. It's so cool.
Yeah, but they're not positioning themselves to be a realistic depiction of what a plane can and can't do.
Exactly. So I loved it. And also, the whole dragging the car behind the plane, and then the car gets and smashes it. So all this shit is exactly... Michael Bay, yes?
No, it's directed by Simon West. Michael Bay wannabe.
Yes, that's right.
Who never got to scale the heights. I do that in implied
absolutely. But I love this shit, man. I mean, who didn't love this shit? Does everyone love this shit? I mean, is it like boorish to like this movie?
We redid it for the patrons review last year, I think.
Yes.
Or maybe even we did the actual review because when we were really scrambling for things to review through the worst of the pandemic.
Yeah, totally.
I cooled on it a bit. Like, I still really enjoyed it. It's still a 3.5-star film. But I didn't have it at the giddying heights of 4, maybe even 4.5 stars I used to have it.
Well, I remember we had that problem with Steve Buscemi's character.
Yeah, that completely unnecessary
side. It was, but like I think what it did do is, we mentioned this, but it gave you tension because he's sitting there with a little girl. I'm like, what the fuck's going to happen here? And in the end, nothing happened.
That film was, how long was it? It's at least 2 hours, I reckon. Yeah, okay, 116 minutes. Take out the Steve Buscemi shit. It's a tight 100-minute film. Wonderful.
Really?
By comparison.
The John Malkovich, because he didn't know how his character was going to end up, so he didn't know how to play it. I remember they were still writing it. And then for all that shit to happen, and still like this movie that I still talk about now, or think about now,
he's great. That's where we found out Malkovich could be a really, really good villain. Actually, no, we found that out in The Line of Fire, which was around about the same time. Not sure which one came first.
Yes! Good stuff.
Yeah, all right, cool. So my number three is Airplane. So that's how high I had it on my list.
Fair enough.
Bouncing straight back to you for your number two.
My number two is a George Clu Clu film that I have always loved.
Up in the air?
Up in the air, baby.
Yeah, he flies everywhere. Fair enough.
It's literally almost all on a plane. And some Skyping.
Isn't this the one where he goes and he basically lays people off?
Yes. His job is to go and fly around America and fire people.
Yep.
But he does
and sell it
in
it
a
to them.
Yes, a convincing sort of hero way. And he's like, you know, he's just used to doing it. So his name is Ryan Bingham. And he travels out of a suitcase. He relishes the freedom and he loves the fact that he's actually got a big theme of the movie is he's trying to get his frequent flyer points up to a certain number, like a 1 billion mark or some shit, where you actually get the pilot come out and talk to you, which happens during the film. And the pilot is Sam Elliott. And it's kind of a cool little scene.
And it's directed by Jason Reitman, son of a genius.
He was Jason Reitman. Mm. But what's cool about the film, I guess, is you're watching this guy who is essentially a commitment phobe, I guess. And that's why I know, Paul, draw any comparisons you want. It's fine. But he's...
What, Wayne? I like this
one. I should have mentioned this is 2009, okay? Long, long time ago. But why it's cool is that, yes, it's just a drama, y'all. And there's a stage where Anna Kendrick comes with him and he's teaching her how to actually do this firing job. And then halfway through, she breaks up with her boyfriend and just bursts into tears. In the middle, he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, shit. And it's all that kind of stuff. He finds Vera Farmiga.
So is Vera Farmiga in this movie?
That's right. And he actually gets...
This is peak Farmiga.
Peak Farmiga. Yes, peak Farmiga big time. And peak Clu Clu. It's always peak Clu Clu, baby.
He has yet to deviate from his peak, according to Wayne.
I'd still hit that. So, they get together and start fucking, right? And he realizes he's in love with her. So he tracks her down where she lives in a different fucking state.
That's a little weird.
And as he gets up there and opens the door, he's like, I was just nowhere in the neighborhood. Her fucking husband comes up behind her and is like, what's up? And he's like, oh, and he just fucking runs out, right? He just, boom, that's it. And it destroys him. And the end of the film, though, you think he doesn't learn any lessons. He ends up way back up in the air again. He acts, well, if you ever see a cloud trail, and that'll be me. You know, there's no resolution to this film. He doesn't learn his lesson. He just gets fucked up and then goes back. That's a brave choice.
Okay.
One guy talking, up in the air.
Right. Yeah, fine. Again, I thought that film was fine. Not one that spoke to me the way it spoke to you.
Definitely one of my things.
Well, once again, volley back to you, because my number two is where I had Con Air. I wonder, we have to have the same number one, surely.
No, because you said my number one.
Oh my God, my number one's not even on your list.
If I know what you...
You're
I know what you,
an idiot.
No, I got this, motherfucker. I got this, okay?
Of course, I know what your number one is, but...
I know what yours is. Passenger 57.
Incorrect.
I should have said Drop Zone. Sorry.
Terminal Velocity.
Oh, shit! Why this could have been just Wesley Snipes' Airplane film.
Was Terminal Velocity Wesley Snipes as well, or was it Charlie Sheen?
Oh, you're right, it's Charlie Sheen. It's just the very same kind of movie. Shit, why isn't Terminal Velocity on my list? Anyway, all right, number 10 for me was Air America. 9, Die Hard 2. 8, 7500. 7, Airplane. 6, The Aviator. 5, Sky Captain and the World of I Know. 4, Executive Decision. 3, Con Air. 2, Up in the Air, and 1, Top Gun. Paul, hit me.
All right,
hit me, baby.
Damn. Okay, I'm stunned. Stunned. My number 10 was Flight. 9, Flight Plan. 8, Shadow in the Cloud. 7, Memphis Belle. 6, Executive Decision. 5, Top Gun. 4, United 93. 3, Flying High, aka Airplane. 2, Con Air. My number 1, Get Off My Plane.
There it is, okay.
Air Force 1.
I thought about it, Paul.
God damn it, Wayne.
I thought about it, Paul.
How is this not here?
It was a good movie,
but it's a great movie. It's so fun.
I remember Air America more fondly. I know.
Stop it.
Okay, you know what happened with fucking Air Force 1, Paul? Well, you know what
apart from
fucking
the fact
happened?
That Harry Ford was the greatest president ever.
Ever. The whole thing was fantastic. Gary Oldman was the fucking tits. There was a cunty fucking CIA or Secret Service agent who betrayed everyone. He was a prick. I hated him. That motherfucker needed to go down. All right?
Close was the vice president on the ground. And she wasn't behind it.
And
she wasn't trying to kill off the president so she could become the president. Amazing.
Amazingly. And also, I remember it was the first time we were like, oh, Glenn Close, it's a female vice president. All right. And then, like it's happened now. But back in the day, holy shit. And then apparently Harrison Ford actually went up to her
at some fucking function and kneeled down next to her and said, would you be my vice president? And that's how she accepted
that's
the
cool.
role. That's the story, they say. You know, so that kind of shit, right? So I love all that shit. And then at the end, Paul, the fucking CGI of the plane.
Oh, whatever.
It was so bad. It took whatever. Me right out of the... I'm not saying it ruined the film.
1997
but
film.
But it dropped it in the... It's, yeah, I know. It was just... It was really
directed
tough.
Directed by Wolfgang
so
Peterson.
Bad.
And it's just, it's a tenth film, and you know, the president is an ass-kicking hero who takes out the terrorists one at a time, all himself, until it comes down to he v. Gary Oldman with that obviously famous line before he boots him straight out the, get off my plane.
Do you know the first time that Harry engages one of the bad guys, right? Here's what happens, right? He's in his motherfucking presidential office on the plane, right? Mm-hmm. Bad guy comes in, right? There's a desk and a chair. Looks like there's no one in the room. Bad guy's got his gun. He's like, okay, no one's in here. As he turns on his heels to leave, Harry flies from behind the chair. The chair turns and Harry's like, rah! And he just jumps in the air and he's completely like, his body's out. And I'm like, that motherfucker just owned it, man. He just rolled on that bitch like a lion. It was really, really cool. So all that shit was great, man. No doubt, boo. No doubt.
Air America. Wow.
Yeah, baby.
Air Force One is my number one. Wayne, any honorable mentions that you want to
shit
shout out?
Tons, mate. Hot Shots. Fucking...
Apparently not Hot Shots Part, yeah.
Well, Part 2 wasn't bad either, man. Mm. And I actually did have Drop Zone on it. And, I mentioned Passenger 57. There you go.
Yeah, Passenger 57, like, from my memory is, yeah, it definitely starts on a plane, but isn't this whole second half of the film off the plane?
Is it?
That was my
vague
I thought
memory. The whole thing was, like, him doing some Angie Dickinson
with,
shit.
What's her name in it? Elizabeth Hurley. Wasn't she with the flight attendant?
Oh, no, they did land, and then he was running around, and then the dude was, like, eating a kid's fairy floss.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I had Firefox from Clint Eastwood
way
back when. I liked that
Most
movie.
Most people hated that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It like, America, I think, had, like, a 13% approval rating on it.
Yeah, it's fucking... Everyone thinks it's a piece of shit.
I had Alive, which is not really an airplane film.
Oh, because of the crash at the beginning?
It crashes at the start, and then they, you know, they start eating each other to survive.
Yeah, I think Army Hammer really likes it.
And I mentioned that there's a lot of films that are very similar. I quite liked Nonstop with Liam Neeson from
I was trying to remember
6 or 7
it,
years ago.
Is that the one with Ed? No, it's not. It's another one. Sorry, yes. It's still not bad.
Yeah. And as you
mentioned. They run into each other, these Liam Neeson films for me. I'm like,
yeah, totally understandable.
This one was one
of the better ones as far as I'm concerned anyway. So, nice. All right, that's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call The Recount. No, The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast. I'm going to be on Sam's show in short order to do Escape from New York with
Sammy.
Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema podcast.
Nice.
His three choices were Airplane, Con Air, and Executive Decision. I don't actually like this film, but I feel it needs being brought up for the hilarious way they unceremoniously kill off
Absolutely.
Steven Seagal. John Amenta from the Pilot Comics podcast had Executive Decision. Seagal got fucking killed hard, son.
My favorite thing is even getting killed. It's funny shit.
Passenger 57, as I do, and you should always bet on black. And Inception. Whole thing is just a bunch of people sleeping on a plane. No, John. That does not qualify.
That's funny as shit. Also, always bet on black. Yes. That became his thing.
It was. It was awesome. Michelle D said Airplane, Air Force One, and Memphis Belle. I look forward to your vote there, Michelle. Gidget Von LaRue, the aforementioned, had Airplane, Alive, and The Right Stuff. Because even though it was about astronauts, they spent a lot of time on a plane training.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
Oh, nice one, actually. Good call.
Al Smith had Airplane, Flight, Con Air, honorable mentions, Top Gun, and Gladiator.
Very funny.
If you're not familiar, there was a plane flying in the background of one shot on Gladiator.
And boy, did I wear it. Go on.
Jason, Nerdrovert on Twitter, and a patron to the show, said Flight Plan, Con Air, and his number one was Red Eye, which was the one we mentioned earlier with Cillian Murphy and
number
Rachel
one,
McAdams.
Eh?
Yeah.
Did you like it? One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't love it. But that's fine. Jason obviously did.
Cool.
Well played, sir. Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast. Great show. Check them out. Executive Decision. Number 3, 2 Airplane. And number 1, the superior 80s fighter jet movie, Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
Which I should have mentioned in my honorable mentions. I'm sorry. That was my number 11. And I was umming and ahhing between that and Flight Plan. And Flight.
Chappy.
But yeah. I couldn't remember Iron Eagle as well as I wanted to.
No, me too.
Derek Hawkins had Con Air, The Final Countdown, USN Carrier Aviation in full
That's
color
a cool
glory.
Fucking film, man.
And Top Gun, the F-14s, all but had speaking lines and were the stars of that movie.
I fucking agree. Absolutely.
Kate Alexander, another patron of the show, said, number 3, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah. Really? Would you have let that in? I didn't let it
not
in because...
Not from you.
There's one... Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you.
Number two, Planes, the Disney one. And number one, Con Air.
Yeah, so baby.
That's a great choice. The Reverend Johnny Blumpkin said, one of you motherfuckers better be talking about Chuck Norris's Delta Force.
I was about to put that on there. Sure. And then it turns out it's only the sort of the front and the middle bit with the plane. The rest of it,
yeah, not enough plane. Sorry,
what
Johnny.
What would have had me, Brad?
Johnny Blumpkin.
Johnny.
Yes.
Johnny.
Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast said, number three, executive decision. Number two, snakes on a motherfucking plane.
Bitch, please.
What?
Billy? Come on, man. Come on.
And number one, Con Air again. Aaron Dundee had Fast and Furious 6. The runway scene was epic. Although they need a never-ending runway to make it happen. Number two, United 93. A great story of heroism on America's darkest day. And number one, Airplane. There is no way this isn't number one. It's a classic.
There you are.
Mel Walker had Airplane, Con Air, and Memphis Belle as her number one. And she said, even if you don't have Memphis Belle on your list, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I saw that thing. I was like, once more into the fray.
Jonathan Kidd had Snakes on a Plane because motherfucker. Air Force One because get off my plane. And number one, Airplane, because don't call me Shirley.
Nice.
That's a great answer. I like that one. Dan Trulli had Die Hard 2. There you are, Wayne.
What up?
The Right Stuff at number two. And Wayne, he's definitely a vote for you. Number one, Air America.
Yeah, boy! Thank God.
Glenn Sutherland had Airplane, Sully, and Die Hard 2. Come on, Wayne. Do it. Pick it. And then he went, Wayne's List prediction. Number one, The Terminal. Two, Hudson Hawk. Three, Hot Shots. Hot Shots Part Deer.
Hot Shots would have been
five,
legit.
Home Alone. Six, Final Destination. Seven, Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
Oh, there was that plane scene in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Where the raft off it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Eight, Jurassic Park 3. Nine, Batman. And 10, Return of the Jedi.
It's actually not a terrible list. I think that's fine.
And that's the one that I want to go out
How
on.
How did you not have the Final Destination? Not enough plane shit?
No, it's not enough plane shit. Okay, the whole point is that list was very jokey. So yes,
okay. Yeah. I'm down.
Oh, yeah. That's your feedback. Thank you to everyone who got back to us. We couldn't get through it all. We really, truly do appreciate you taking the time and helping our lists. In Wayne's case, helping him to ignore all the right suggestions.
That's okay. I'll get one vote this week.
I'll get more than one, I'm sure.
One vote.
So, Wayne, how do the people get back in touch with us and give us their feedback on the topic or indeed just the show more generally?
Crack up your IBM 486 and...
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Hit Alta Vista and look for the Countdown podcast.
Not Yahoo?
Yeah, all right, Yahoo. Actually, Alta Vista's funny.
What about Webcrawler?
Webcrawler. Ask Jeeves. I don't know. Fuck it. So, or you'll find our socials, people. Or send us an email, an electronic mail at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Glad to explain what that was. You can also like and follow the show at podbean.com where we host. Check out Twitter, Countdown, The Countdown PC is our handle there. ccradio.com.au for the other great shows on the network, Comic Confidential and Believe. And finally, Facebook community link is in the show notes if you want to get involved in all of the discussions, not just around the episodes, but around movies and television in general. All right, Wayne, what's up next week for episode 330?
Fuck you.
Of The Countdown.
What? No.
I haven't got it.
We haven't decided.
We haven't decided. Oh, word. Oh, well.
So,
okay.
Here's my pitch, Wayne.
Go on.
It's my birthday this week.
Oh, shit. By the way, everyone, Paul's birthday at time of this recording is like, what, in 2 days?
Yeah.
So I'll be dropping a post. But that means you're going to pick some fucked up shit for me.
Let's do a horror topic.
Suck my big hairy balls, man. What the fuck?
I would really, really love to do a top 10 zombie films, but I know you haven't seen enough. Right?
Yeah, it's going to be a short list. All right, go on. So have you got something else?
So what if we did, I don't think we've done this, top 10 films of the undead. Oh, no, have we done this? This sounds familiar.
It gets like that. I don't know if we have either.
All right, let's go to the elevator music and find out. All right, well, with apologies to Sean Ennis, last year when we did the top 10 films of the undead, for the exact same reasoning I just said, we couldn't do zombie films.
It gets like this when you're old, people.
Yeah, and also have somewhere in the order of 330 countdowns exactly. That you're trying to think back through.
We don't know.
So instead what we're going to do is the top 10 films that made us defecate our pants or soil our pants.
We can't say shit. Can we not even say crap, can we?
Crap our pants? Maybe.
I think crap would be fine.
Surely, mate, crap. I just don't want to get hit with a boom, you're gone. Apple Podcasts eliminates the episode.
Crap's got to be fine, surely.
Crap ourselves?
Made us crap our pants. Yeah, crap ourselves. Yeah, our pants. Something like that.
That's going to be the topic.
Basically, just to get this straight, is it jump scares or is it just scared in general?
Yeah, either way. Whichever one makes you more, your bowels looser.
All right, fine. In my case. Anyway, all right, cool. I'm down with that. Nice.
All right.
So there you go, Paul.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you. That's a lovely birthday present. I'm looking forward to episode 330 on That Basis Alone and hope you will join us for that one. That's it for today, right?
It is.
My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck off.
Game over, man. Game over. What the fuck?
are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Sit through and endure a bloody long sound.
And love it. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.